The Quranic centric family is one which learns and implements the teachings as a collective, working together, helping each other, and guiding one another to get closer to God as a unit. Today, we review the topic of the functional family, traveling together towards God. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for 2021, today being the 11th day of this blessed month of Ramadan. Today in this topic that we're reviewing on the functional family, traveling together towards God. When we look at this faith of Islam that God has given to us and the teachings of the Quran, that are not only teachings at a theoretical level, because ultimately they're just black on white, they're just ink on paper. They are also imbibed in a practical level of understanding through the life of the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, and the successors of the Prophet, that is the family, the Ahlul Bayt, may God's peace and blessings be upon all of them. And so when we combine the two together, the theoretical teachings, as well as the practical example of the recipient of this book and how he implemented the teachings within his own family, and ultimately also how the respectable companions of the Prophet and the Imams also implemented the teachings that they learned directly from these great individuals, we begin to be able to build a family which is, as I called it, Quran-centric. Now it's true that obviously us as individuals, we are but one person, one individual within a family. But obviously a group of people, the husband, the wife, and if God permits that children come into that blessed union, then these individuals make up a unit, make up a collective. And the Quran is very clear that although as individuals we have responsibilities, and those are to ourselves first and foremost, you know, God tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, save yourselves and your family. For example, this verse is within the Quran. We see it in Surah At-Tahrim, chapter 66, as one example. We recognize that first and foremost, every single believer, every single human being is responsible and accountable and answerable for what they themselves are obligated to perform. But then God says that once you enter into that relationship of a family, where there is a spouse, there are children involved, that is where the second part of the verse comes, where God says, and save your families. It's a community effort. It's a family effort. It's a collective effort to help each other out, to work together, to guide one another to get closer to God, to be the family which imbibes and lives the Quranic teachings. And this can be at many different levels. It doesn't only relate to, for example, making the congregational prayers with the family, with the father leading, let's say, or if he's at work, the mother can lead the young children. It goes further than that. And this is where we obviously have to recognize the fact that we need to learn the lessons of the Quran, especially how they relate to family interaction and relationships, and then also then take it a step further and go into the ahadith, the stories of the Prophet and his family. May God's peace and blessings be upon them and all the respectable companions which they had, and to see how they combined the personal obligations with the encouragement toward the family towards goodness and righteousness. Because as believers, we should always be caring and concerned about other people, not just ourselves. Islam is not an individualistic religion in that way. We are also worried and concerned about other people, especially those that we are owed an obligation to preserve and maintain. And if we can make it to that level of ensuring that our family are also on the straight and narrow, developing a Quranic-centric family or a Quran-centric family where we learn from the teachings and then implement them as a collective, then we will go much further in reducing the stress and tension within our homes. We will make this earth a place of peace and blessings and tranquility. And you know, we have a very perfect example actually in the Quran, in the form of the family of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless them and their family. And that is Imam Ali, peace be upon him, his wife Fatima al-Zahra, peace be upon her, and their children, Hassan and Hussein, peace be upon both of them, and Zainab and Umm Kulthum, peace be upon both of them as well. And we have the very famous chapter of the Quran, chapter 76, Surah Al-Insan, also known as Surah Al-Dahr, from verses 7 to 10, although the entire chapter is revealed in the honor of the family of the Prophet for their self-sacrifice, their altruism, that not only the mother and father displayed, but really that the children also, in their own limited capacity at that age that they were at, were also able to display. And how does Allah describe this loving family, this giving family, this Quranic-centric family that embodied the teachings of the Quran? Well, in this passage of verses 7 to 10 of chapter 76, Allah says the following. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا إننا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا كمطريرا. They are those who fulfill the vow they make and fear a day whose evil is extensive and encompassing. They give food, however great be their need for it, with pleasure to the destitute and to the orphan and to the captive, saying, We feed you only for God's sake. We desire from you neither recompense nor thanks. We desire only the acceptance of God. We are surely fearful of a day from our Lord, a day of frowning and severity towards the guilty. Now, obviously, in order to do really full justice to this chapter and its understanding, we need to obviously review the entire the content of the entire chapter. Obviously, our time will not allow us in this very brief review. But just suffice it to mention that this event of giving in the need, giving to the needy, whether they be Muslim or even non-Muslims, was an act that wasn't just done by the father of the house. It wasn't just that he went and gave something in charity to the needy. It wasn't just done by the mother, where she went and gave out of what she had to those who were less fortunate. And it wasn't just even that the mother and father planned it. No, they actually involved the entire family. The children were involved, and even the maid servant, Fidda, may Allah be pleased with her, was also involved in this event. Showing you and I that a God-centric family is one that works towards the path of earning the pleasure of God as a collective unit. And this is something that we need to learn today, brothers and sisters, where we have so many dysfunctional families and marriage breakdowns and families breaking up and children going their own way, is we need to reintroduce and invigorate the teachings of the Quran at a family level. Now, as we conclude for this morning on this 11th day of the month of Ramadan, let me leave you with three points of reflection. Point number one, the God-centric, Quranic-focused family is one in which all of its members are taught and encouraged to live the Quranic ethos at all times in their lives. Point number two is that we need to inculcate in ourselves and our next generation the need to give of the best of what we have, and not merely the leftovers. And point number three to conclude, we have reached to perfection in our humanity when giving to others becomes a part of our psyche and comes naturally. Not that we need to be encouraged to give from ourselves to the less fortunate. God willing, tomorrow we will continue in our review for this Ramadan of 2021. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.